Welcome back, everybody, to the From the Stands podcast. I'm Alec Wojak here with Alex Rodriguez.
Yes, sir.
And yet again, the United States National are champions of the CONCACAF Nations League. Another final against Mexico, where Mexico again lost 2-0. You know, it's a very long history of us winning by that scoreline.
I know. And you don't sound like as excited as I thought you would be.
Man, I mean, I was excited yesterday. I mean, before the game, me and you both talked about it. We were both nervous. We weren't as confident as before.
Yeah. Because
based off of the performance that we had against Jamaica, which was probably the worst performance I've seen. No, it's not the worst one, I'll say, because we did win 3-1, but it definitely was not the most impressive performance that we've had.
Yeah, I mean, we also lost to Trinidad and Tobago, so.
Oh, yeah. Everybody remembers that, but yep. You know what? The past is the past. Only matters about the present, right, Mexico mm-hmm. fans? Anyway, so starting off with Jamaica, mm-hmm. that game, you know, me and you were obviously talking beforehand in a previous podcast. It's a game that we should be winning. It's expected of us, obviously. Yes. And Jamaica was not even playing with their full, like, their strongest 11. I mean, no. Dude, a lot of these players were not, like, we didn't have Leon Bailey there. We didn't have Damari Gray. We didn't have Mikel Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't have those guys playing against us. So, you know, a lot more confident. You know, we should be putting the game away early, creating a lot of chances, scoring goals, celebrating, and having a little bit confidence boost going to the final.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was not like that.
No, it was not.
It was not like that at all, mm-hmm. to say the least. And, you know, it started off great. 30 seconds into the game, yeah, Jamaica take the lead. 1-0.
Yeah.
And a lot of blame, you know, especially from us too,
was against
Joe Scally. But after looking at it a little more, our defenders and our midfielders were just completely switched off, and they let a free runner come in.
So you're going to base that goal off of the mistake of the whole team rather than Scally?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm telling you, Scally was majority to blame for that. But I'm saying there was stuff leading up to it, and it could have been prevented. I mean,
it could have
Chris Richards and Tim Ream back there, and nobody wants to pick up a running man. I don't know. Maybe I have to rewatch it and see if they're marking somebody again. But just based on my recollection right now, Miles Robinson was starting. There we go. We can blame it on the MLS defender.
Yeah. So so Chris Richards and Robinson, they clearly should have prevented that cross that went into the box. But I mean, when you watch the replay of the goal, you see. What I really found interesting was the change of the run that Jamaica had when they scored the goal, because the left wing of Jamaica goes to the top of the box, and then the one of the midfielders, I don't know what position he was playing, but he went to the far post and he was able to get that off of Joe Scally. The only problem I have, and why, like, I think it's a great run, right? But the only problem I have is that Joe Scally doesn't know what either of them are. He never checks his shoulder. He never really – they're playing like a zonal marking in the box. And so I feel like a player of his quality, when you're seeing crosses like that in the Bundesliga, you should be somewhat prepared or environmentally aware of where your players are, even if they're having a, you know, dynamic run, a switching run, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like you said, it could have been prevented, the cross, but it's poor defending overall. And, you know, 1-0 down in 37 seconds.
Yeah, and I just want to point out here, everybody on Twitter and everybody on U.S. national team Instagram, they want to make the comparison of Serginho Dest and Joe Scally. And obviously in that game, we saw it. We saw the complete difference between the two. I mean, Scally was burnt, man.
Yeah.
He was having a terrible game, and no wonder he got subbed out. I mean, a yellow card. When did he get his yellow card? I honestly do not remember. It was early on.
20 minutes, around 20 minutes, or was it 12?
It was 12. It was 12. The 12th minute. Yeah. He got booked. Man, he was having a terrible game. And then right at halftime, he was subbed out for Gio Reyna. So
was bad. Like,
it was bad.
Yeah. He gave away a crappy free kick for that yellow card. And then it's not even like top quality opposition either. It's like the B team of Jamaica in the first place. So if you're getting flamed by these guys, you know, why do you deserve to continue to be on the pitch? I understand, you know, we might have time changes and, you know, we're playing in different time zones, different environment, but the stadium is a quarter empty. you know, there's not too much pressure on you besides the viewers watching from home. And, you know, like you said, Reyna comes on for him at halftime. But the biggest surprise to me is that it wasn't a like-for-like sub. So McKennie goes to right back. And it's a completely different dynamic that the U.S. just has no reason to be in the first place if we have a decent right back that everyone's trying to say we have.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. He starts in the Bundesliga for Mönchengladbach, but it's just poor. It was a poor performance against a team that you shouldn't be playing down to their level or below that level even. So, obviously, I think now we can finally say that Serginho Dest is miles above Joe Scally. I still think Joe Scally's a good player, but in that game, he did not show any of the quality that he had.
But look, I think we have to consider the whole team, right? And like we said, this was not a good performance. And so I think what the team really lacked was Tyler Adams and his leadership that he showed on the pitch. I feel like the team, ever since, even when we got scored on and we needed to react and show why we're the best team in CONCACAF, they didn't. And they were sleepy the whole game until we got an own goal. And I feel like it wasn't even until the own goal. Everyone said we deserve to lose this game. As soon as they score, it's a completely different U.S. team. I don't know what it is, but it took them 96 minutes to wake up. And it wasn't even until Tyler Adams came on in the 63rd minute, we finally started connecting passes and having some leadership. And I don't know why the team needs someone like him to come on against a B team Jamaica, that when everyone plays abroad, except, you know, Miles Robinson, everyone should have some leadership qualities about them to play at the top of their game. I don't know what went wrong.
I don't know. And the lineup itself was somewhat questionable. I think me and you both were confused a little bit when the lineups came out. I mean, obviously, Matt Turner in goal. Joe Scally has to start right back because Serginho Dest decided to get a red card against Trinidad and Tobago. Miles Robinson was also questionable. Yeah. I mean, we thought about Tim Ream, but Tim Ream he was decent against Mexico besides, you know, his terrible, you know, long balls and such. But yeah, Chris Richards on paired up with him, Anthony Robinson, Malik Tillman, who you like to criticize a lot. There was also Musa. There was also Yunus Musa in the middle as well. I don't know what's up with him, man. Maybe it's not the time at AC Milan, but he didn't show his quality, I felt like, in that game against Jamaica. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion. Penny was there, Tim Weah, and then of course Balogun up top was questionable. He did nothing all game. Maybe it was just I mean, let's be honest, nobody was really doing anything all game.
Yeah.
So you can't fixate the blame on Balogun, but I mean, it was just a questionable decision by Greg Berhalter to start him in the first place, considering his form at Monaco at the moment. But you know, that all changed when we finally, you know, put on Haji Wright, who's in the form of his life right now. And he eventually got us the two goals, which put us into the final against Mexico.
Well, look, the reason why I feel like Balo isn't performing well against Jamaica is because we had nothing. Even when we score so late in the game, there was nothing for Weah, Pulisic, Tillman. Tillman had a one-on-one opportunity, or he had an open net, let's say, and he shot it right down the middle for Ochoa to save, right? So everyone, you know, is forgetting that. That's why I criticize him so much when he's playing at a high level. Musa, non-existent walking pace for him. It's completely different. I don't know what happened with him. I don't know if he's I would have to look more into this, but I don't know if he's fasting, and that could definitely impact his performance.
I believe he is.
McKennie at right back, and you know, McKennie is not a right back. Why, if he's at Juventus, he's going to be playing right midfielder. So there's no connection that we see from between him and Weah, no combinations that we would see regularly from Dest. Of course, Reyna comes on in the middle, but he's not performing, you know, to his highest level until the goal is scored and we go into extra time. That's when you see him firing on all cylinders. Pulisic, nothing, right? And he's probably the player who had the least amount of touches in the game. So I feel like it was definitely one of those games that everyone is just going to question, like, why did everything go wrong when we had 78% of possession?
Yeah. Just overall, I mean, the Jamaica game was just terrible, and luckily we got saved by that own goal. Was it deserved? Who knows? I mean, it came off our player, and then Jamaica guy just decided to put it into his own net pretty much. I don't know. It looked like he was on the attack in that position.
Yes. Yeah, that's, I mean, what it looked like. At his body position, he just full-on headed it into his goal. I don't even know what went wrong.
I mean, it was a deflection, but that's what it looked like from our point of view. Then Gio Reyna in extra time showed his quality, getting those assists. And Haji Wright, of course, putting the chances away when they were brought to him. Saved us 3-1 against Jamaica. Terrible performance. And that's why me and you and the rest of the United States national team fan base was worried about our game going into Mexico.
Look, I want to ask you a question, right? If we lose this game, is Greg gone?
No.
Okay.
He's not. Let's be honest. I mean, we've had questionable, you know, performances and losses with him as the coach. You know, a lot of us didn't expect, or people didn't expect, the United States national team to do as well. Overall, our World Cup run was impressive, but it wasn't impressive at the same time. I mean, we scored two goals, or was it? Yeah, we scored three goals. Yeah, we scored three goals the entire World Cup campaign. It wasn't impressive at all. And, you know, we should have got a better win against Wales. We should have won against Wales. Walker Zimmerman, if you're listening, it's your fault. England, obviously 0-0. It was a good result. I think we're happy with that. We counted it as a win in our books, but, you know, all the other stuff. But Greg Berhalter, I think he saved his job, even despite the whole, you know, domestic violence allegations and the incident, and also the Gio Reyna stuff, man. He saved his career somehow, I guess. But then again, I think a lot of the time people don't consider that the United States national team job isn't the most attractive one in the game. So there's not like there's a ton of candidates out there that are like itching to get the job. I mean, people talked about Jose Mourinho, Jesse Marsh, all these other guys. But let's be realistic. None of those were ever really going to happen. But going back to your question. Yeah, no. It's the Nations League, man. It's not the most important tournament out there. I mean, we have the Copa America coming up, and I honestly don't think that they would have fired him right before the Copa. And also, you have to take into consideration is that the players like him. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at.
I agree. Yeah,
we'll get into the game against Mexico. Adams, who did he immediately run over to celebrate with? Greg Berhalter, man, jumped up in the air and grabbed him. I mean, that shows you all you need to see. Then all the interviews coming out from Pulisic and others saying, you know, we like him. We don't want any other coach. He gets us. He lets us do what we need to do. Then a lot of people will consider the fact that he's been able to, you know, get some pretty high quality players to come over to our team instead of representing England or any other team like that, like Balogun, Musa, and et cetera. So, no, I don't think that he was ever going to get fired if we didn't put on a good performance at all. But, you know, we, like, our podcast is called From the Stands. We can only tell you from what we see from sitting in our living room couches, watching the game and all this other stuff. So, yeah, that's my long spiel about how Greg Berhalter is not going to get fired.
And look, I think everyone sort of kind of questioned the lineup, right? And he doesn't have his full strength squad available to him, right? So now we look at Mexico, right? Now players like Sergiño Des are back, right? So you come in, you start Des, right, over Scali, as you should. You start Tim Ream over Miles Robinson, as you should. I believe so. I think Miles Robinson did not have a good game defensively against Jamaica. And then you start Tyler Adams, in which everyone was surprised, right? Everyone was like, okay, typically you would bring him on in the later part of the game, and because of his time restriction with Bournemouth. But clearly we need that leadership in the midfield. So you start him, right? And then most importantly, you start Haji Wright up top over Balo. And that was a big decision made. Everyone, I think, wasn't even going to complain about that decision. So good call right there. And, you know, I would say we play a pretty good game against Mexico. Would you agree?
I would say so, at least in the later portions of the game. But going into back to what you're talking about, Tyler Adams, I mean, it was very questionable, first of all, starting him. I mean, just due to his injury, he hasn't played 90 minutes in who knows how long. He hasn't played 45 minutes in how long.
In a year, yep.
Yeah, and guess what? It paid off. I mean, he scored an absolute. I mean, it should be up there with goal of the year, an award for it. I don't care, man. It was one of the best goals I've seen from a United States national team player playing for the national team in such a long time. I mean, it was out of nothing. It was just completely out of nothing. I mean, when the ball got played to him, and you could tell, you knew he was shooting right away. I mean, he looked up, he touched it in front of him, and I was like, don't do it. I feel like there's better. I feel like there's better options. Maybe slow the game down a little bit, play it out wide, see what can happen. I mean, like I said, from the stands, we can only say what we see and such things like that. But hey, luckily he didn't listen to any of us.
Well, yeah, I know. The ball comes back out wide, and you're like, okay, let's recycle it back. Let's put it back in the box. We have all of our numbers in the box. We swing it back to Adams. They're like, surely he's going to put it in. No, he looks up. It takes a touchdown in front of him. You see, the Mexican player sees it, goes over for a slide tackle, trying to block it with all of his hope. And Tyler Adams just bangs it top left corner. I mean, it was fantastic.
Scorcher, man. Right before halftime as well. I mean, that gave us the boost because we were talking during the game, and it just wasn't impressive. I mean, also talking about the some of the parts in the game, we had such a, like, emphasis on direct passing, and it wasn't working out, especially Tim Ream. I mean, this is a seasoned professional, man, plays in the Premier League for Fulham. He's their captain, but his long balls were just atrocious. It wasn't working, and I didn't understand why our tactics were, you know, so, like, direct. That was our emphasis, like, direct balls all the time. And eventually we shied away from that, and that's when our game started to work out a little bit better for us. But,
well, yeah. I feel like the reason why our center backs, or, you know, all of our defenders felt like they needed to play a long ball was due to Mexico's low block that they were playing. And Mexico knows surely that we struggle with the low block. You know, any team in CONCACAF is going to play a low block, try and soak up pressure and counters. However, Mexico just didn't play it right when they only had a few days to prepare for it. And then they try and counter us with plenty of numbers to hopefully, you know, take advantage of all of us or all of our players building up into their half. I feel like that's what we were trying to do with our long balls, was that we were trying to just switch the field quickly, except it kept going over Serginho Dest's head. And so it was definitely a struggle. And Tyler Adams was good at it. It's like he never left. I mean, we did see some of that with Christian Pulisic's chance early on in the game with Ochoa's great save. I mean, you got to say, you know, hats off to Pulisic's first touch, receiving it in the air, taking it off of his thigh, and then trying to hit it with his third touch. But it was good quality play.
Just something about Christian Pulisic against Mexico, man. I mean, he had a silent, pretty much silent Jamaica, and didn't score anything like. Hockey assist, if you want to put it into those terms, for Gio Reyna's goal that we'll talk about later on. But man, I thought he was pretty good besides set pieces. I don't know why we don't have anybody else who can take set pieces, but it just doesn't work. Like when we had the free kick, especially on the outside of their area, I was like, please don't take.
Yeah, me. I know. I don't really know what's going on because we had 7 corners. And I don't know how many corners we had against Jamaica, but we never do anything with our corners. Whenever we take a corner, I sit down. There is no reason for me to get excited besides the 96th minute against Jamaica, right? Then I'll get excited. But whenever we mainly do take a corner, it never beats the first man. If it does beat the first man, we never win our second balls. It's frustrating to watch. I don't understand what's so difficult about it.
I don't know, but maybe one day we'll see a different player step into the role of, you know, our primary set piece taker. But anyway, moving on from that, like the chance of Pulisic early on, it was great save by Ochoa. If Ochoa wasn't there, a lot of blame is being put on him for the Tyler Adams goal. But I mean,
it's a rocket. It's literally a rocket. You're not saving that, man.
Yeah, you guys try being a goalkeeper in a game like that, and tell me how you do. If they didn't have him. Like, considering the Pulisic chance and also the Johnny Cardoso chance, it would have been 4-0. Or I don't remember any other significant moment where we could have scored probably more. But overall, let's just say 4-0 if he wasn't there. So, yeah. Ochoa, put all the blame you want on to Mexican national team and all their fans. But he's still a great goalkeeper, in my opinion. Well, and you guys are lucky to have him.
Well, what the U.S. really benefited from was, of course, Serginho Dest coming back, right? And you will see, if you ever go on Serginho Dest's Instagram page, you will see just highlights of him playing. Mm-hmm. He even posted on his story of him tagging Irving Lozano as he just ran right by him. I thought it was the funniest thing ever. And yeah, Serginho Dest, as soon as he came back, he put on a show. And he made sure to have good link-up play with Weah. I think Weah definitely benefited from that, especially when he was missing it with Joe Scally. That I was really impressed with. But I also really enjoyed watching Gio Reyna versus Edson Álvarez in the midfield. That was fun to watch.
It was a great matchup. But talking about Serginho Dest, man, I mean, he put on a clinic when talking about skills. It was great. It was insane to see. And just as soon as he started doing all these flicks and tricks and all this other stuff, I was like, my first thought was, man, I can't wait to see this highlight reel that he's going to post. And I just checked his Instagram. It's not there yet, but
I think it expired. Oh, no. It probably is coming. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. I mean, he didn't put it. Yep. There it is.
It's on his story, right?
He's got, yeah. Like, specifically this video that I'm watching here where he cuts up the inside and he cuts through the midfield of Mexico and you see him lining up to take the shot. I wish he didn't take the shot because, I mean, Pulisic was outside, you know, wide. And I feel like he could have, you know, just played a simple ball to him. Pulisic probably would score in that circumstance. But I don't know. It's great to have a player like Serginho Dest. You can not only track back and defend, but also can provide something on the attack.
Well, it's crazy because no other national team player is doing that. If you expect someone to do it, it's Pulisic. I think I only recall Pulisic doing that maybe once, besides what he did on the wing against Jorge Sanchez, right? But you maybe expect that from Gio Reyna, and that wasn't really happening for him. He played more of a relaxed role, almost as a six, which I was very confused about. But
it's so deep, and I didn't understand that. I mean, he's our most technical, I would say, our most technical and one of our best attacking players in creating chances. I mean, watch him against Jamaica after he came on. Watch him during the Mexico game. He was doing a lot.
It was a completely different Gio Reyna, though. When you see Gio Reyna against Jamaica, you see him performing as a 10, continuously just slipping balls in between the lines. It's a striker's dream, right? And that's exactly why Haji Wright started this game. But Reyna against Mexico comes in as a 6, and he's playing right on top of the center backs. And if not, he's next to them. And it doesn't even make sense. I'm like, why are you playing as a 6? This should be either McKinney's role or Adam's role. You need to get up further and up the pitch, maybe combine with Pulisic and then maybe put it into Haji Wright. It wasn't working out. I don't know why, but I did enjoy his little duels with Edson Álvarez stuff.
Yeah, and all those Mexican fans out there, Jorge Sanchez did not have Christian Pulisic in his pocket whatsoever. And I think it was proven on the Gio Reyna goal where he just flicked it over. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just see Jorge Sanchez laying on the ground in the background while Pulisic puts a ball in. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, Mexican national teams and their Mexican fans and their delusions when it comes to what players are doing well and who are not.
And look, you know, we go 2-0 up after Gio Reyna's goal and Pulisic's assist, right? And guess who comes on? Santi Jimenez, right? Santi Jimenez has been – he's been a crybaby. I don't know if you saw him against –
biggest crybaby.
Yeah, and the game against Panama where he didn't appear, you know, he goes over to the bench, he kicks a water bottle, and, you know, he's just crying, right? And so everyone's like, okay, you know, let's start Jimenez the next game. He doesn't get the start. And so now he's coming off as a sub against the U.S. And he comes on and he – what's the first thing he does? Do you remember?
Of course I remember. Dude, just like – that's what I said in my tweet at the Stands Pod. If anybody's listening, check it. A ball gets played into him. And Anthony Robinson goes to challenge for it. And then you see the Argentinian come out in Santi Jimenez. Man, flops on the beach, like on the ground, like a fish out of water, man.
Mm-hmm.
The referee gives a penalty. And I'm like, dude, no way. We just scored, and this is how we're starting. And afterwards, watching, I was like, it's not a pen. He didn't touch him at all. And luckily, you know, VAR quickly, like, I've never seen a check go like this quick. They immediately, you know, said to him, hey, go check the monitor. This guy did not touch him at all. So he gets a yellow card for simulation, and I'll never understand it. You know, there's a certain individual out there who said that it was a penalty on our Twitter. Didn't touch him at all. And his excuse was that it was studs up in the face. Who cares if it studs up in the face, man? That's not how these things work. It's different if it's like a dangerous like play, like if like I don't know if anybody remembers like Thomas Muller kicking the crap out of an Ajax player. Was that Edson Álvarez?
I don't think so.
You know what I'm talking about though?
I think I do, but I don't remember the players off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know either. This was a while ago, but I just remember Edson Álvarez playing for Ajax and all the other stuff. But anyway, there's a difference between if a player goes out and puts his studs into somebody, but if you kick a ball,
well,
or the ball's in the air and you play it with your leg. I mean, and you don't touch the guy. It's not a penalty.
Yeah, like what happened is Santi Jimenez has a loose touch, right? And so he's kind of running after it. Robinson completely misses the ball. And so as he's going through the motion of kicking the ball, he raises his foot so high that it comes near Santi Jimenez's face. And that's what some fans may be arguing about. But they never touch it. Like, Anthony Robinson's intent is completely different, and he never touches a player. And so it's a complete flop by Santi Jimenez. And it was sad because he then gets a yellow card for simulation. And it proves as to why he should be on the bench, but us American fans won't mind it at all.
Yeah, that was his contribution for the night. There's a lot of, you know, controversy within the Mexican national team about why Santi Jimenez doesn't start over Henry Martin. I don't get it. I mean, Santi Jimenez is a good player, I will admit, but I guess Henry Martin is better than him. I don't know. I don't know what their head coach sees. But in the end, 2-0 up, the game is about to end, and I do want to talk about this. The chants from the Mexican fans towards the end of the game. We've been through this a billion times.
Yep.
We've seen it at San Antonio FC games when we're just sitting there, which has no relation at all to the Mexican national team.
At this point, it's a cultural thing, right? It's just toxic. I think really what it is the Mexican fans wanting to end the game. They know that if you keep chanting, that eventually it's going to come to a point where the game is suspended, and they have full control, right? They have full control as to what happens next. Well, of course, we stop play, and eventually the players go to the locker room, and then when they come back and they keep doing the chant, then the game is suspended, right? They know full well what they're doing. The only thing that I struggle with is that the Mexican Federation does not do enough to stop, you know, promoting the idea that this needs to end. And so when the last time they faced consequences, of course, they may be receiving fines to FIFA. But the last time it really hurt the Mexican national team was when they were playing World Cup qualifiers under closed doors because it got too out of hand. And so that's when they decided to act right and change a little bit. But this is continuing even after the fact, and the Mexican national team or federation doesn't say anything about it. And that's kind of what is frustrating for a lot of fans. And we would like to see more consequences occur more frequently with the team.
You know, we'll get into a little bit more about the Mexican fans at the game and what they do besides the chants and such, but I do want to continue talking about it. There comes a time when the game, because let's see, it started before the 90th minute, because that's when the pause happened, the first time that the referee stopped the game. Then the added time was added on. It was 6 minutes, and it was we restarted play. I mean, it kept happening. The 95th minute, he stops it again. The game is over at this point. There's no reason to continue the game, and it just prolongs it and prolongs it. So that I thought the referee had a decent game the entire time. He didn't do anything questionable or any such things like that. But that was the only criticism that I'll say, is that at that point, you just need to stop the game. And of course, CONCACAF has to do something about it, because it's like, as an American, I don't really care that much in like the respect that like it doesn't offend me in any such way.
Yeah.
But it just, there just needs to be a point that, you know, the Mexican national team and the Federation, they get fined, they get, you know, they have to play X amount of games behind closed doors. They got to do yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's just me.
I mean, the frustration though with that is if the behavior continues, then it's deemed acceptable by the fans. And so this culture, this toxicity, then enters MLS stadiums, USL stadiums, and it shouldn't be allowed. And there, and when it does become a problem, as we see at, you know, Dynamo games, for example, it's nothing that should be, you know, happy or funny, you know, nothing to be proud of. It's a game. We watch soccer and we move on. We don't, you know, criticize the players in a way that, you know, hurts others. Of course, there's a rivalry, but when you start yelling homophobic slurs and when you start fighting fans in the crowd, that's when it becomes a problem.
Oh yeah. And that's what I was going to go to next, was there was a post by USMNT only, and it was not a player, but who said that he went to his first ever, I think it was his first ever US soccer game, or it was his first derby or rivalry game.
Yeah.
And the picture, his entire head is just bloody. And he said, they're throwing beer cans, they're throwing batteries. How the hell do you get batteries inside the stadium, first of all? I mean, this is in at AT&T Stadium, the home of the Dallas Cowboys. There isn't better security where they can't stop that from happening. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know the whole battery extent, he said, because he put a question mark at the end, so I don't fully know. But they shouldn't be happening, man. Mm-hmm. It's a game. It's a game at the end of the day, that you are just a fan. You're just watching. You're not even involved in it. Mm-hmm. You're just watching. You paid all this money to go see your team play, and you're gonna, and there's another instance where there's a Mexican fan like taunting a US fan, and then they started fighting each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand it.
And this is behavior that you would probably expect at the Estadio Azteca, right? If a US fan is, you know, getting in the faces of Mexican fans, and they're, you know, getting at them and, you know, talking crap, if he's, you know, blank, or if he's drunk and he's getting at all the fans, then you would expect that kind of behavior towards him, right? But he's on home soil, like you said, at AT&T Stadium, and the Mexican fans are doing it when they're losing to U.S. supporters, and it doesn't make sense. There should be better security. This has been happening for the longest time. I don't understand what is so difficult to bring in better security and to have or provide safer or more protection for these fans that come to the games.
I don't understand this either, because I mean, we both know from Europe is that if there's a designated away section, there should be no reason that a Mexican fan and a U.S. fan should be sitting next to each other, unless they're like I don't want to completely seclude them, because like if me and you,
there's a lot of them. Look,
if me and you are like separate fans and we just want to go to the game together, then that I feel like that's different. But there should be a section where, like, you see it in England. Okay, let's just use an example for like Manchester Derby,
Estadio Azteca as well.
Well, I know it happens there as well, but there has to be like, there's lines of like security people that separate the fans, and that should be it. That should be implemented everywhere. And I don't understand why it's not. I don't understand why it's not hasn't been implemented, because it's obvious that this needs to happen. Because if we keep doing that, it's just going to create a dangerous environment for fans who are literally just going there to watch their team play. It's a game. It's a game.
Exactly.
I don't understand it, but in the end, okay, in the end. the U.S. national team won the Nations League 2-0 to sum it all up. Goals by Tyler Adams and Gio Reyna. And, you know, we're celebrating a three-peat. Three times that we have won this competition, and the Mexican national team has not beat us since 2019. They haven't scored against us in over 500 minutes. So that has to be said something, and I just want to point this out. Mexican fans, you guys are stuck in the past, okay? Mm-hmm. And I understand, like, there is history. You may be ahead of us in terms of, like, the wins and the trophies, but we're catching up. And you can't ignore the fact that we are better than you in every which way. I mean, our best players are playing in Europe. Your best players can't make it in Europe and are coming back to Mexico to play. So I think that's all that needs to be said about that in terms of quality and such things. And yes, there may be problems with the coaching, the federation, why you guys aren't starting your players who are playing in Europe, especially Santi Jimenez, who is, you know, playing very well in Europe. So I don't know. I don't know all that whole thing, but yeah, it just needs time to face facts.
There's a little meme on Twitter that I found. We can probably put it up here on the video, but there's like a sad Mexican face, you know, and it's a little circle and it says, spend all season stalking U.S. men's national team players in Europe, and then next year hyping up mid-Mexican players and non-top flight leagues. Then you end up talking crap and say Mexico will destroy the U.S. because they're in better form, just like they did with their win against Panama. And then you lose to the national team, or you lose to the U.S., and then you blame the coach. And it's a cycle all over again. Then you start stalking U.S. men's national team and say they're not good enough, right? But at the end of the day, we're 7 matches unbeaten against Mexico. We have 5 clean sheets. There's nothing else has to be said. Kings of CONCACAF, we're waiting for Canada to get better to have a new rival. You know, we'll see what happens in the future, right?
Yeah, we need a new rival. There needs to be some investment somewhere. Like, I made a joke about how I wish the U.S.-British version – or the not the U.S.-British Virgin Islands. That was stupid. The British Virgin Islands need to become our new rival or something, so it would mean something because, you know, England and such things like that. But that was just a joke that I said. But it's not – isn't even a rivalry at this point. I mean, we've won every game, or we haven't lost to them since 2019. We've beat them in several different competitions. And like, that's the thing too. We beat them with our C team back in 2021 in the Gold Cup. I think everybody doesn't remember that as much as I do, because they brought their A team to that tournament and we brought a bunch of MLS players. So,
well, do you think this is a different outcome if we play at Estadio Azteca or any stadium in Mexico?
They didn't even beat us at Estadio Azteca. I just want to point that out. Yes, we didn't win. It was 0-0, and we probably should have won. But Ochoa is Ochoa, and, you know, one of the best goalkeepers in CONCACAF in Mexican national team history.
Yeah.
And it might be. It might be. And this is what I wish more the United States would do. We need to play against higher quality opponents whenever we do have friendlies. And obviously, we're going to see it in the Copa America this year, not in the away game aspect and such. I mean, there's of course going to be fans flying in from all over the world and stuff like that, but we're still playing on home soil. So that also has to be taken into account. But yeah, I wish we'd play more friendlies against higher quality opponents, because that's how we're going to actually test how good we are. We can't be playing against Jamaica and Trinidad and all these other games all the time. I know that they are scheduled games, they're CONCACAF games, we have to play against them, but still, there's got to be a time and a place where we can play like we did back in the day, where we played against France, and I also think we played against Portugal, if I remember correctly. There needs to be games like that, because that's how we're really going to test ourselves. Of course, you know, coming up into the 2026 World Cup cycle, we need to have some quality opponents, and obviously we're going to get that this summer in the Copa America, which I'm very excited for, and hopefully we do well in.
Exactly. Well, I don't know if you want to or not, but we have a little bit of time if you want to go over what's going on or what happened over the weekend.
Do I want to go over that? That's a real question. I mean, this whole episode has just been solely U.S. national team stuff, but, you know, I'll just go into it a little bit. I'll highlight some decent games that have gone in the MLS, gone under the radar due to the international window. St. Louis and DC United, they tied 2-2. Pretty exciting stuff. LA Galaxy came back from 2-0 down to Sporting Kansas City. Yeah. Quality. I say LA Galaxy are very, you know, they're very good. They're getting better than they have been in the past. And the new signings that they have made have actually been able to contribute. You know, it's a new team. It's a new dynamic. Mm-hmm. They had to get rid of some of the toxicity like Douglas Costa and such. And it's obviously doing a lot better for them. Yeah. Colorado lost 1-0 to the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, if you watched that, you know, bless your soul, that was probably the worst game of soccer you've ever seen. It was probably like 50-50% possession, and both teams had like 4 shots. So, yeah, it probably wasn't exciting until like the last 2 minutes of the game. But, you know, if you watch the game and you stuck through it that long, you know, you're probably the most loyal fan to Dynamo or the Rapids. And if you're a Rapids fan, yeah, I hope that loss hurts.
Damn, that's some harsh words from
me. I'm sorry. You know, I was scared we were gonna lose to a bunch of European rejects, but I'm glad we didn't. So
European rejects. That's some fighting words from you, by the way. I guess the only other notable game to really talk about is LAFC thrashing the hell out of Nashville 5-0.
We've been criticizing
LAFC a lot. Bwanga got two goals in that game. Timothy Tillman also scored, but 5-0. That's something.
Yeah,
that's a Nashville team, which isn't terrible, but
yeah,
LAFC hasn't been impressive either.
And then Charlotte had a taste of the disaster class of a refereeing game with the Columbus Crew. They won 2-0. And then the Red Bulls beat Inter Miami with a messy-less Inter Miami 4-0, which was, I would say, a really big exclamation mark on the saying that this Red Bull side might be MLS contenders.
Oh, they're very good. I do want to point out real quick, this is a little funny little segment of our podcast so far. Emil Forsberg, the new big shot signing for the New York Red Bulls, came over from Leipzig in the Bundesliga. Apparently, he's been ghosting his family and his children, his wife and kids, ever since he moved to New Jersey, and they have now got a divorce. So, hey, New York Red Bull fans, you guys got a really, you know, loyal player in terms of soccer-wise. Yeah. Other than that, you guys have not got such a good husband. So, hey, congratulations to you guys. But, you know, it's tough. I mean, we would bring you more MLS.
Wait, hold on. I want to mention one team.
Oh, I was going into that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, man, you gotta let me talk here. We would bring you more like MLS news and such, but with the international window, we kind of fixate more on the national team than we do watching. Like if FC Dallas was playing, I could talk about them. But yeah, other than that, I didn't watch very much. I couldn't give you a full rundown of everything that happened in the league. But that's what happens sometimes when you just have a solely based, you know, U.S. national team podcast like this episode is. So yeah, but you can go on to what you were talking about now. I just wanted
to. Well, I mean, I feel like you should take, you know, the next step, because Austin FC had a fantastic game in their loss against the Orlando City, in which I'm sure you are very excited.
You know,
to play against, right?
Yeah, so I was going to get into this too. FC Dallas does play Austin next week. It's one of those rivalries that have sort of developed. I mean,
You hate Austin, though, right?
I hate them with the passion. I think
so it should be a rivalry, right?
But I think it stems from obviously, me and you support Dallas and Houston, and we just didn't want another Texas team. But I wouldn't say I didn't want another Texas team, just not in Austin.
Yeah.
And as people have lived in San Antonio for majority, I would say, of our lives, we wanted San Antonio to get a shot at being the next MLS team. And that's where our hatred sort of stems from Austin. Because once they were announced, me and you were like, are you serious? That's so stupid.
Well, I think it's the way the fans carry themselves about it, right? They start saying, oh, yeah, we're going to be the best team in MLS. And now they are sitting, you know, not very high in the Western Conference, right?
Yeah, they're just a bunch of interesting people, I'll say that. I mean, go, like I've said in our first episode of the season, I'll say go and watch some We Are Austin TV post-game interviews.
Yeah.
Those people are so full of it. It's insane to me. Just Austin in general, like compared to the rest of Texas, is interesting to say the least.
Why their slogan is keep Austin weird, right?
Yeah. And they do a pretty good job of that. I'll give that to their fans. Mm-hmm. The only cool thing about them is the lights in their stadium. I mean, me and you have both gone there and we've seen it.
Yeah.
That was the only notable thing. Other than that, they just have the most basic supporter group. I mean, they're rated one of the best in the MLS, but man, come on now. Yeah, I mean, there's other people out there. LAFC beat them by a mile, even though LAFC is getting a lot of heat on Twitter. From non-MLS supporters who are roasting. I mean, it was a pretty cringy video, I'll say that. But at the same time, I mean, this is American soccer. Like, yeah. You have to take that into consideration. But yeah, but we play overall. We Dallas plays Austin next weekend. So that'll be fun. It's at Austin, I'm pretty sure. So it'll be an interesting little game. Obviously, for some reason, FC Dallas players play to a whole different level besides that one game in the playoffs that Austin is still holding on to from their season so far in their time in the MLS. But hey, it'll be interesting, and we'll get to it all next weekend. But yeah, like I said, this episode was solely based on the Nations League and the U.S. national team and their performances in the games. But after this, we will totally go back to our regularly scheduled MLS program, and of course we'll talk about, you know, the national team players and their performances and such things later on if, you know, there's something notable to talk about. I do think Gio Reyna and Tyler Adams both have deserved a little bit more playing time at their respective clubs. Nottingham Forest, if you're listening, just saying. But yeah, that is going to be it for us today, guys. This has been From the Stands Podcast. If you want to hit us up on Twitter or look at all of our tweets and us complaining, at the Stands Pod. We also have a YouTube channel. We're working on a link tree. I made that, by the way. I just haven't put it anywhere, Alex.
Nice.
I have.
Nice.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to, you know, put more stuff out there for us so people can hit us up. We do have a TikTok page, by the way.
Hopefully the government doesn't shut that down, by the way.
Yeah, we're trying to take advantage of it right now because Instagram Reels is something we will not be going to.
Instagram Reels, we are scared of you. We can't.
Yeah, we're not going to be going anywhere near Instagram Reels. I just don't want to be abused on my appearance or my skin color or anything else like that. Because if you've ever gone on, you know, go on to Instagram right now and click on Reels, and I'm sure you'll find a video.
Just go to the comments. Go to the comments. Yeah. It's all just people just taking advantage of the way you look, the way you act, anything.
It could be the most normal video ever. You could just be like, I don't know, going bowling. I saw this. Some kid was just cleaning his bowling ball, and someone was like, who the hell just has a bowling ball laying around the house? Then they just called him a dumbass or something like that. I don't know. That's the basics of what Instagram Reels is.
Yeah, so
that's why we're going to be staying away. But
yes.
Yeah.
We have a nicer, you know, population on TikTok.
Yeah. But our link tree will eventually be in our Twitter bio, so you can go check it out. All of our other profiles.
At the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Nothing. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. The joke flew over my head for a second. I just had to make sure. Like, I knew what you were talking about, but I didn't. But anyway, guys, this has been From the Stands Podcast, and we should catch you guys next time.
See ya.